just ignore that.
Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it. Got it! 8 tenths of a second to go!
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
What happened here? Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Oh, yeah. How about two blowout wins back-to-back? A game that wasn't originally scheduled to be the second night of a back-to-back, but thanks to Winter Storm Jonas. By the way, my favorite overused saying by Scalabrini in the game tonight. But absolutely, not a game that was supposed to be the second in back-to-back. Obviously, that favors the Celtics based on their schedule recently. They walk away, blowout winners yet again, 116-91. Looks like this team is starting to learn how to put a subpar opponent away. And you would have said the Washington Wizards were a subpar opponent, but boy, they look like it tonight, especially once Marcus Smart went all, boxer on knocking out Bradley Beal. So
nice.
Listen, I'm really Nick, I'm excited because you and I get a chance to do a show after a great win, but I'm also excited to bring on Max, who will be co-hosting his first show with us tonight. And no, not Max of Max and Grandy, not Max of Mad Max, but Max of Celtics Life is going to be joining us, or is joining us right now, with the CLNS postgame show. So all I can do is a huge warm welcome to Max. Max, I'm glad that you get to pop your cherry after a real big win, because there's always lots of enthusiasm, lots of good calls, and lots of fun on a show after a win, especially back-to-back wins, and when the Celtics have finally strung together a pretty good record in their last 10.
No, yeah, and thank you for the intro, Justin. I'm quite honored to have my debut be with you and Nick, the veterans here. And if I can get through this show, I'm sure I'll get through all of them.
We're easy.
I don't know. So, this is the perfect game to debut on. I was super impressed by the Celtics tonight. Last 10, but it's just the back-to-backs that they keep performing on. I mean, 8-3 this year so far on back-to-backs. So, like you said in the beginning, that snowstorm Jonas, it really did them a favor, not just with the schedule, but putting them in a position to be able to play two nights in a row, which they seem to love.
Yeah, they do love it. And the other thing that I'm loving is the tightening of the rotation and going with the going small off the bench. I think it gives them that energy, that packed punch. A couple of things I've been wrong about this year that I'm just going to go ahead and fold my cards and throw myself, under the bus. Number one, I said early on Isaiah Thomas should be coming off the bench. I didn't like him as a starter. Boy, am I eating my words now. He's controlling games. He controlled this game in the first quarter and basically set the tone, and that's why they were able to put it away so fast. Lots of confidence building. The second thing I said is, listen, you guys want to whine about rotation and not having a set rotation? How about you differentiate yourself? You guys are driving me nuts. Well, guess what? It was not a pretty start to 2016, but now these rotations are tightened up, and as a result, some of these players are differentiating themselves. Evan Turner and Kelly Olynyk. Amazing. On fire. Yep. On fire, and not greedy either. On fire just the right way. 2-for-3 from beyond the arc tonight. He's shooting almost like 50%. He's just freakish right now. 3-for-8, finishes the game with 13 points. And, listen, he's not gobbling up rebounds. He only got 4 rebounds. But at the same time, the way he gets that floor space is exactly what Brad wants from a small lineup. Max,
he's moving, Justin. Not to cut you off. I mean, he just—it's constant movement, and they're still shooting the three, but it's not so much of that early offense three-point shot. At least not tonight.
No, definitely not.
And, no, and I was going to throw in there.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You guys got me excited there. No, because I think that that was one of the biggest takeaways from the game was them sharing the ball. And that really was the difference. Early on, I just felt like the ball wasn't getting moved as much in that first quarter. But then all of a sudden, the second quarter, and I think it all started with that run at the end of the second quarter where they finished the half on that 9-2 run. They hit a bunch of shots. I think they were all assisted on, too. And finishing the game with 31 assists on 44 makes, I mean, that's an incredible ratio. But I think that's the difference. If they start sharing the ball like they are tonight, which I think, like you mentioned, it will be easier with that small ball lineup, five guys on the court who can shoot, tightening the rotation, letting everyone kind of get into a rhythm. If they start doing that and they start hitting shots and sharing the ball more, I mean, the sky could be the limit, because if those three start dropping, because they love taking them, I mean, now all of a sudden, you know, this team can keep scoring over 100 points a game, which they've now done 9 times in a row.
Yeah, maybe we'll see them finish the season as strong as they did last year, and they're way ahead of last year's mark. Real quick, This episode of CLNS Postgame Show is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free trial, visit lynda.com/CLNS. That's lynda.com/CLNS. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/CLNS radio, or on Facebook, facebook.com/CLNS fans. I'll tell you what, it would be amazing if this team could finish the second half of the season as strong as they did last year. You know what else is interesting? The guys that they picked up in the offseason, the David Lees, right? They're the only one who is really getting any minutes, who's really actually been very different for this team in the rotation, is Amir Johnson. Otherwise, this is the same team as constituted headed down the stretch last year. They go a little big in that starting lineup, then they go small again, like we've seen with Jonas Jerebko and Kelly Olynyk out there. I think that's pretty interesting to me. I mean, not that I expected David Lee to contribute a ton of minutes, and obviously Tyler Zeller getting off the bench again, where he was a major cog last year. He got supplanted by Johnson, but otherwise, not a ton of changes. And many of us were calling for, let's get a trade going. Is this a championship caliber team? Obviously not yet. But now they've got a firm hold on fifth place in the East, when they had fallen out of the playoff rotation not so long ago, just weeks ago. Now they're in fifth place because it's a tightly packed in the middle of the Eastern Conference playoff race. They're starting to separate, and maybe they're getting positioned for that strong run where they just take a hold of this. Is it out of the question for them to finish fourth in the Eastern Conference? I have to ask that question now.
Hit it, Max. What do you think? Do we lose them? Did I mute him? No, he's there. Do I think it's out of the question? I'll give you that answer. I think they got to keep playing the way they're playing, Justin. I think that they've thrown a couple good games together here. We got to see more. We have to see more. Because that
more,
entire –
more. When you say more, you mean more of what Max mentioned. Shooting that three, but moving the ball so they're actually open when they shoot it, and then attacking the rim, right? That inside-out game that you and I discussed at the very beginning
the
of the
time.
Year.
And like tonight, I mean, they were forcing turnovers yet taking care of the ball. I mean, it's all – and because you look at, what, 5 through 8, they're all within a half game of each other. So everybody's having the exact same conversation we're having right now, too, almost. You know what I'm saying? So we need to continue to separate, do what we were doing tonight, the things you mentioned, and, yeah, I think it could happen.
I want to hear about what the rallying cry has been, because this isn't just – hey, guys, let's just go out there and do it night in and night out, and then eventually it's going to come back and gel. It's not just the transition to the small lineup. What we're seeing is confidence, and I want to know where it came from, because it just didn't pop up out of the blue, right? I mean, maybe the holidays threw them off, and they were spending time with family, and they weren't really cohesive together as a team, as a unit. But I just want to know, where did this boost of confidence come from? Because Jay Crowder is off the hook from beyond the arc. Kelly Olynyk, off the hook from beyond the arc. Isaiah Thomas, controlling the tempo of games night in and night out, that was not there a month ago. It wasn't. This team did not have this confidence. Now it's there. Where did it come from?
Let me jump in on that for 1 second, then we can throw it to Max. I honestly think it coincides – not so much with the David Lee benching, saying, okay, we bench David Lee, but I think it's more so that these rotations have tightened and the players are now figuring out what their minutes are. And I think with that comes confidence because they know what to expect night in and night out.
So are we conceding? Are we conceding the whining to the team and the players who said, you know, well, the reason we're not performing well is because we didn't have a set rotation? I mean, is that acceptable? I don't know, right? As long as they all play together and they win games, I guess it is. But there's just a part of me, and it's the part of me that hates LeBron for getting the Blatt fired.
I know.
Listen, don't be a bunch of beep, right? Just don't be that way. Just go out and play the game, boys.
That drives me
nuts sometimes. It's the same thing that happened to Kevin McHale and his firing. You know what I mean? And don't think for
LeBron,
a second that Tyronn Lue isn't in trouble because he is in the worst spot of all. He did Tyronn Lue such a disservice because now he's coming in, and if LeBron doesn't like his, you know, if you know, right now it's all peaches and cream, right? But Tyronn Lue has to go off, and I don't know how their matchup against the Spurs is going right now. But if it isn't going pretty, that's a back-to-back loss in the middle of all this. And it won't be good. It won't be good.
So, Max, what do you think?
Is it acceptable? Can the players call for a set rotation when they're clearly not establishing it by their play? I think we still lost them. Hey, I'm gonna hit this real quick. CLNS Radio, the CLNS Beat podcast series, and Audible are giving you a free audiobook from the world's largest online library. Audible.com is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, sports, and periodicals. Simply go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics to claim your free audiobook.
Justin,
all right, so we're
going to
be opening up. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, let me go back to that again because I don't know necessarily that it was the players demanding more, you know, set rotations or more playing time, whatever.
But they took it to the media.
They did, but I think it's more of just human nature as to – I don't think it's like, okay, now we got our way, we're going to play better. I just think players play better with set rotations and set minutes. Like, pretend they never took it to the media. I think that we would still be having those issues had had Stevens not tightened up these rotations.
Do you think he was going to tighten them up anyway? Do you think he was giving everybody an opportunity so then he just, when he made the decision and then the team played better, nobody could really say, I didn't get my opportunity? Do you think this was more of a democratic process on Brad Stevens' part? And maybe, just maybe, Brad Stevens planted the seed about, I want to tighten these rotations, but somebody's got to establish themselves in this rotation. And then finally, David Lee just got sat down.
Now,
here we are.
We got Max back. Max, you in?
I'm in. Yeah, it's a rookie error there. My apologies.
That's all right, man. No big deal. We're talking rotations.
Okay, yes. And I heard you guys, you left off. Where did that thought go? I was really interested in that thought about whether or not the Celtics were a championship caliber team, and you were going somewhere with that.
We didn't hit that. No, what we said was that is this team, you know, I said, obviously this team isn't a championship caliber team, but, you know, I think at this point you don't mess with it as long as they string together more of these games was Nick's caveat to that. But as long as they continue on this run, maybe you don't mess with making a trade unless it really is for a superstar player. Not, you know, there was a talk about consolidating, you know, the front court and getting those rotations established. Well, now that the rotations are established, maybe the need for that isn't as great. And the question was this, chicken or the egg, really, with these rotations. We listen to the players, I want to say, whine about it to the media, about why they weren't playing well and not having established set rotations. Or was this a case of Brad Stevens allowing players to sort of play their way into a rotation? He bided his time, and it was more of a democratic process where everybody got an opportunity until finally he said, okay, this is our best opportunity moving forward. This is what I'm going to stick with. And it was really all part of his master plan.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good question. I think that what he – it was definitely Brad Stevens trying to mix and match – a lot, but I don't blame him for that, seeing how this team's offensive performance has been a struggle all season. I mean, just until, you know, before they went on this three-game winning streak, you know, they were just at 500. I think they're still shooting in the bottom five of the league from three. They're in the bottom 10 of the league from field goal percentage-wise. And I think Brad Stevens has been trying desperately to find the perfect combination. Now, it may be true that he was doing that too much and not sort of trying to tighten it sooner. And maybe if he had done that and just went with a few guys, went with the eight that he's gone with now, this run would have occurred a little bit earlier. But I also don't want to get too excited just because of the competition they've had recently. It's been a little bit, you know, a little bit worse with the Sixers and then the Wizards, who they seem to dominate this year, winning the season series, sweeping the season series, actually, for whatever reason. So I don't want to get too excited, but right now the rotation looks like it's set. I can't imagine it changing any more than it has. And if I was Brad, I would just stick with this eight, you know, of Johnson, Crowder, Sollinger, Bradley, Thomas, Olynyk, Smart, and Turner, and run with it. And I don't think you make that trade unless it's for a real game changer. Maybe you try to drop David Lee and his contract and his attitude. Like you were mentioning, he seems to be the one in the media most. Maybe he's being a little bit of a problem in the locker room. I'm not sure. But in terms of making a trade for a guy like a Greg Monroe or a Nicholas Batum, someone who can kind of get you from the fifth seed to the third seed, I don't see that being necessary anymore. This team looks like they're good enough to win a playoff series. So if you're going to make a move and you're going to waste some of those assets you've taken so long to build up,
you've
got to
go all the way
sure
up the ladder.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely, Max. You got to go all the way up the ladder. Listen, we're going to be opening up the FanDuel toll-free call lines. We'll be taking your calls in just a few minutes on the FanDuel toll-free call lines. The toll-free number, actually, Nick, you're going to have to shout it out
three,
for me.
Yeah, 347. What's the CSL number? Do you remember that one?
I don't.
I'll put you on the spot. Oh, my God.
It was an 866. Was it? I don't know.
All right. Well, ours is 347-215-7771. And if you want to get on the air with Max, Justin Poulin, and myself, hit one because the queue is filling up. And if you don't hit one, we'll assume you're just listening.
All right, so the CLNS radio call lines are powered by FanDuel. The NBA season, obviously, full swing. Play against your friends anytime on FanDuel. Head-to-heads and private leagues have never been easier. You think you know basketball? Prove it at FanDuel.com. FanDuel is the best place to play one-day fantasy basketball. Pick a team of nine players with just players from tonight's games. Payouts will be in your account the next morning. No waiting to get paid. You can play every day or whenever you want, and leagues start at just $1. Finally, it can pay to be a fan. Plus, right now, I have a special offer for our listeners. Enter a FanDuel league now, and if you don't win, FanDuel will refund your money. Any contest you want, up to $10, just make a deposit, choose your league, and if you don't win, you'll get that money right back in your FanDuel account. The only way to get this exclusive no-lose offer is to go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone, and use the promo code Celtics. That's promo code Celtics. Anyone can play. Go to FanDuel.com and use the CLNS promo code Celtics. So we're going to open up these FanDuel toll-free call lines. I want to make one more point before we get those calls on. And that is, we got Terry Rozier, and we got James Young in the game tonight. And I am so bummed that Jordan Mickey has got this injury, because that is the only one I wanted to see in garbage time tonight.
You don't want to see James Young?
I kind of want to see James Young, but I already know what James Young is. He's untested in battle, but he's got a great shot, and he's going to be good down the line. They just got to keep him stowed away, give him some more time to develop. But he's just not battle-tested, and he's not going to get battle-tested for quite some time if he doesn't end up being a trade chip. Because I just don't see how he climbs into the rotation. They've got a glut of players.
No, we really do. I just think he's so young. I hate when people just willy-nilly throw him into a deal as some kind of an add-on. I mean, I feel like he's going to be a guy who, in 4 years, is an NBA rotation player. He's just too good. He's been too good of a shooter his whole playing career, which hasn't been that long since I think he's 20. I think he's 3 years younger than RJ Hunter. I hope he can get those battle-tested minutes you talk about, because I feel like he went 2 for 2 tonight. So who knows? Maybe he's about to hit.
Yeah, he hit the three, and then he had a nice drive to the lane. I mean, listen, we knew the kid was an offensive talent, and I do love him, but I feel like I know exactly what he is. You know what I mean? Jordan Mickey, on the other hand, is a guy we haven't seen even get garbage time minutes. And with all those blocks and everything that this team needs, and I want to see him run the pick and roll a little bit, if he can run the pick and roll, hit a pick and pop, and he can block shots and get some rebounds, that guy's a rotation player today. In which case, maybe you do hope that they swing for the fences, because him being the third or fourth big off the bench, I think, is feasible. James Young, on the other hand, he's in a little bit of trouble just because of all the guards they have on this team. And, yeah, he could probably come in and play small forward, but they're definitely going to need to make some moves to open up time for James Young. And I agree with you. I think he's a rotation player in 4 years. I'm just not sure it will be with the Celtics because, you know, what if they draft somebody? What if they get lucky and they wind up drafting somebody like Ben Simmons? Then you can count on James Young riding pine. And it's just not even fair to James Young at some point.
No, it's not fair. It would be a shame to let him go without ever seeing what he can do on the court. But I think you're right. He may be blocked, although I feel like he can play small forward. And right now, I mean, the depth chart's pretty thin there, especially if you don't consider Evan Turner a small forward. I mean, behind Jay Crowder, I think he could fit in there. But again, every time he seems to get in the game, he seems to struggle. He can't really play defense all that well. I'm not sure if Brad Stevens trusts putting him into the game, and I don't blame him for that. But, boy, I feel like they need shooting, and he can shoot. And at some point down the line, hopefully he's given a chance. But like you said, Mickey is the one I want to see, and he leads the Celtics in PER. I think he leads the NBA in PER in his 10 minutes in the league so far. But I would be careful trading away some of our real good chips in the front court until we at least see him play a little bit. You know, we've seen some NBA D-League darlings before. He seems like he has all the traits to be a great player, but I would hope that we would give him some run before we make a move relying on him to be that rotation player as well, to step in there as the eighth guy maybe.
All right, Max, here's what we're going to do. This is how we break you in, you know, talk radio style, okay?
Uh-oh.
This is how this is going to go. We're going to let you run these FanDuel toll-free call lines, okay?
Oh, no.
But I'm just telling you, and I know who's on first, okay? And,
how many DeMarcus Cousins for second, Tyler Zeller offers am I going to get?
Right. What's on second, we'll find out, but I know who's on first. So here's the deal. We're going to see if you can control the callers, the tempo of the call, keep them on task, okay? So I'm telling you right now, I am going to shut the hell up, which is rare. I'm going to do it. Nick's going to do it. And we're going to let you roll for the next 10, 15 minutes.
Just because I'm scared. I'm
see
scared.
See how you do. No, this is going to be fun. You want to know why? I can tell you already Max is going to be an all-star at this. So not only with the callers, but I mean running the show. Dude's smart. This is going to be good. So the FanDuel toll-free call lines are now open. The toll-free number is 347-215-7771. I actually put it down this time. Do you love FanDuel as much as me? Hit me up on Twitter, CSL_Justin, and let me know. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use my code Celtics and sign up now. Special free offers for new users and a special offer for our listeners. Enter a FanDuel league now. I'm serious, guys. This is the truth. If you don't win, FanDuel will refund your money. Any contest you want, up to $10, make a deposit, choose your league, and if you don't win, you'll get that money right back in your FanDuel account. The only way that you get this exclusive no-lose offer is to go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone, and use the promo code Celtics. That's promo code Celtics. Anyone can play. Go to FanDuel.com. Use the CLNS promo code Celtics, and don't forget to use that code Celtics. FanDuel toll-free call lines are now open, and my man Max is in the hot seat. Let's go.
All right. CLNS Nation, let's go.
I'm scared of who's first. All right, so we'll go to caller number one, and it's, oh boy, introduce yourself. Is he sleeping? Scotty! He can't believe
what's going on, everybody.
There he is.
We're breaking in somebody new, Scotty.
Yes, Scotty. Who's this rookie that has to deal with my vitriol about the officiating tonight and how John Wall looked like he was getting treated like a darling?
This is Max. Max is
my
selfless
Max.
Life.
Oh, well,
Scotty,
you know
I'm the rookie here.
It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance here, and let me tell you, first off, I'll take it easy on you because I'm in a pretty good mood for more than one reason. But
what do you have
for us? I will spare you the vitriol that I had ready to go in case something stupid happened in that game with the way that some of those calls were going. I mean, it was still 30-23, and the fouls were 23-19 in favor of Washington, so it was still aggravating. But I'll steer clear from that. I won't mention the, you know, the terrible NBA biased officiating against the Celtics anymore. So, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to be back with you guys. Somehow I managed to get lucky. I'm not going to name the way that I was able to watch the games because I don't want it to be taken away from me like cable was. but I was happy I got to see the game. You know, here's what I like about this team. They don't have a number one, but they have enough twos and threes and three and a half, you know, midway caliber players where they're good enough to beat anybody on any given night. I mean, you look at it tonight, Evan Turner actually had a phenomenal game. Isaiah Thomas did what he does. Avery Bradley was the lockdown top elite defender in the NBA that we know he was. He shut down their whole backcourt pretty much. Jay Crowder had some good moments. Everybody came in and contributed. I mean, that's the kind of thing. If you look at it, I don't think anybody, if you're into it, has a negative plus minus for us. Looking down, I don't think anybody does. So
no one did.
It was a great overall game. I was happy to see guys going out there playing hard. Marcus Smart was his annoying self. Kelly Olynyk actually shot the ball. You know, didn't do the stupid drinking game. Kelly Olynyk pump fake that we've all come to know and hate. So overall, it was a good game.
No, yes, Scotty. Thanks for those thoughts. No, and I agree with you. Some of the fouls earlier were a little suspect, but yeah, like you mentioned, ultimately we hit about the same amount of free throws. The foul calls were very similar. I don't know. I want to push you on your point though about how you think this team can beat anybody on any given night without a number one. And also, you don't think Isaiah Thomas is the number one option on this team and a very good one at that?
Well, here's the thing. When I say a number one, I mean an A-plus caliber player. When we had Paul Pierce, we had a number one. You know, we had him combined with Garnett and Ray Allen. They were kind of like, you know, 1B and 1C. We had go-to guys. Now, Isaiah Thomas is our number one. Don't get me wrong. He's our number one, and he's a good go-to scorer. But come playoff time, anybody that has any kind of length on the perimeter with some decent defense is going to be able to give him a little bit of fits. So I think that if you bring in another alpha dog to let Isaiah Thomas kind of become that secondary scorer, or he could still be our top scorer, but he could be the second option. I got it plays off of the number one option. I think that is the perfect role for Isaiah Thomas. That's what I mean. I'm not saying he's not a go-to scorer, but we can't have our best scorer and our number one player be a 5'9 point guard who, you know, sometimes he could have those stretches where he could have three or four bad games in a row where he shoots 6 for 24 or something. You know, kind of looks like Russell Westbrook out there chucking up ill-advised jump shots from 35 feet. We can't really bank on him carrying us through a full playoff series. So I think he could do it for a few games here and there. I think he's shown he has that ability, the drive, the heart. I just think that if we can get a true number one guy to come in here, whether it be through the draft, whether it be through a trade, free agency, whatever it is, and you pair him with Isaiah Thomas, I think you're going to see his game kind of go up to the next level. And that's kind of what I meant.
And I agree with you that I worry about Isaiah Thomas, especially come playoff time when defenses can kind of zero in on your strengths and clamp down on you. We saw that last year with the Cavs. We go into the playoffs, I think it was 24-14 or some crazy record. The offense was flying. All of a sudden, we run into Cleveland, who, they won the Eastern Conference, but so it's not a bad thing that they struggled. But, yeah, they were able to turn off Isaiah Thomas, and then there's nothing else. And that's what I worry about right now, where you said earlier that you feel like there's enough caliber, 2-3 caliber players to beat anybody on a given night. I think you're right in the regular season. What I do worry about with the roster right now, though, is in the playoffs, if someone shuts off Isaiah Thomas, who are you, who's the guy you can rely on to score 20 points that night? And I feel like right now they're missing that. So to your point, I think that their number one goal, if they really want to try to compete for a championship this year, is to pair someone with Isaiah Thomas who can also score 20 points if Isaiah is going to be, turned off by LeBron. Maybe they put LeBron James on Isaiah Thomas like they have before with some point guards. And who else can score? Crowder's trying to become that guy, but I just don't trust him yet to score 20 a night. Do you?
Well, it's funny because while Isaiah Thomas is our best scorer, I think our best player is still Avery Bradley. I think that he's the
really,
you know, he's the guy that can do it on both ends. If you ask for a guy that can score, you know, kind of catch fire and go off for 20 plus points, and you know, I think it, you know, we have a few guys that can do that. I think Avery Bradley could be the guy that could do that for a series, and you know, the extra thing that he brings obviously is the fact that now that Tony Allen's kind of fallen off the map, there is no equal to Avery Bradley defensively. I mean, defense is so underrated.
Marcus Smart would beg to differ with you, Scott.
Well,
I
want to
jump in on that. I got to jump in on that, and I know we have more people on the FanDuel toll-free call lines, but I'll give Scotty one last thing. But here's the deal. Avery Bradley's upset about his contract, right? And we have a good defender who can be out there with Isaiah Thomas. If Isaiah Thomas is going to continue to be the starter and he needs another man, what do you think about the possibility of some wacky wild trade where Avery Bradley goes out and we get that secondary scorer that we need to pair alongside Isaiah Thomas? I don't know who it is. I'm just saying maybe that's a possibility. He's got a great contract and he's already not happy with it. Sounds like maybe there's a little bit of ruffled feathers there.
Yeah, no, and I'm angry about that too, because he's got 2 years left on his deal and he's firing his agent mid-season through year two. I mean, if you're going to do that, then that means, I mean, you can't wait till the end of the season. If you're not, that means you're focusing on the wrong things. And that worries me that he fired his agent mid-season. I feel like he must not be focusing on basketball like he should be, and only basketball. But I do like your idea.
Maybe he had too much time to think during the injury.
No, that's probably the case. He didn't miss a lot of January, and but that decision, that worries me, that he's making that decision mid-season. It makes me a little bit nervous. But I do think the Cavs need it too. I don't think they want to start J.R. Smith in the playoffs. I mean, that is a devastating look. And so if you're going to move Kevin Love and you're going to want to move him for a two-guard, I think Avery Bradley would be perfect for them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that is definitely an enticing trade concept. And you would have the inside-out game, which is really what you need from the scoring. You know, you need somebody reliable in the post, and we know how much Kevin loves to play down there. You know what? Let's bring in our next caller, Nick. I want to get his take on it as well. You know, I'm not just here to give my opinions. I'm here to listen. We're here to listen to the fans. And also,
always.
Max, we got to let you run with these guys. I said I wouldn't talk, but, you know, Scotty, thank you. Scotty, thank you so much for the call, but let's bring in Nick and see what he thinks. I love your idea.
How's it going, Nick? What do you think about Avery Bradley going to the Cavs for Kevin Love? Do you have any thoughts on that?
To the Cavs for Kevin Love? No, because I'm just not really a big Kevin Love fan. We already have a big, tall, white guy that shoots a lot of threes. His name is Kelly Olynyk. He's pretty good at it. So why not go for Moose? Cheaper contract, and I think he's a little bit more I don't know. I kind of like his game a little bit better. I think he's a good passer from the post. I like Moose. We almost went after him in free agency this past offseason. I think now that we have trade assets to get rid of, and just is openly talking about consolidation, I think that Moose is probably a more realistic option. Although with the firing of Blatt and the seeming, who knows what's going on in Cleveland, you know, there might be, you know, that fire sale, there might be that opportunity to snatch up Kevin Love, who did show interest, slight interest in the Celtics, I think because he played ball as a youngster with Isaiah Thomas. So, you know, there are connections there. It is a possibility. But speaking from, you know, a contract standpoint right now, Kevin Love is I think, a significant chunk more money than Moose, although that doesn't really matter all that much coming up with the new salary cap that's going to be coming up this offseason. But I'm all for trading Avery Bradley. I've never really been an Avery Bradley fan. I love his defense, but I don't think that he's a true two-way player, because when he plays defense the way he plays defense tonight, like somebody mentioned earlier, he shut down their backcourt, his offense struggles. As we saw tonight, he had 11 points, I think, on I don't have the stats in front of me, but I don't think his shooting was all that fantastic. And I have a theory behind this, and it has to do with the fact that he's a short, very undersized shooting guard. And because of that, he has to jump extra high, and he has a very high release. He has to jump extra high to shoot over defenders that are usually going to be on a nightly basis at least two, if not three or four, or more inches taller than he is. He scores in spurts and sometimes fades towards the end of games or in the middle of games until he gets his second wins. And I think a lot of that is because when he comes out of the gates early, he gets those, you know, quick, you know, 8-10 points, then kind of fades away. He starts playing that, you know, defense. His legs don't carry him all the way through the game to be able to play that intense defense and be able to, you know, hit those jumpers where he has an extremely high release to jump over those taller defenders. So, I mean, I've always had an issue with Avery Bradley being, you know, small for a shooting guard. And if he's upset about his contract, listen, Jay Crowder just now signed for $7 million a year. Avery Bradley's getting $8 million a year. And I don't think there's an argument right now that Jay Crowder is a better player than Avery Bradley. So why, and Avery Bradley's getting more. So why is Avery Bradley suddenly, you know, suddenly pulling this thing? I think it's a perfect time. You know, he's having arguably, I think statistically, in terms of points, in terms of scoring and shooting, his best season thus far. You know, if he's the guy that's going to sit there and start complaining about his contract, dump him. And I'm glad to hear some Evan Turner love finally. I thought I was the only guy that ever showed Evan Turner any love, but boy, if Avery Bradley had the game Evan Turner had tonight, everybody would be, you know, kissing Avery Bradley's, you know what, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and only 1 turnover. And on top of that, he shot 100% from 3. You know why? He didn't take any. Perfect game from Evan Turner. Exactly what you want to see from him. And and honestly, he's the only guy that can get to the basket off the dribble other than Isaiah Thomas on this team. And he's also probably, arguably, between him and Isaiah Thomas, the best. Well, he is the best passer other than Isaiah Thomas on this team. And just my last point real quick, Kelly Olynyk been playing very well off the bench in the second unit with Evan Turner. I ran across some statistics online, and of course, marking out Isaiah Thomas, who, you know, obviously gets the majority of the minutes at the point guard, Kelly Olynyk got 29 assists from Evan Turner so far this year. I think the stats may be a couple of games behind. 29 assists from Evan Turner so far this season, which is equal to the 29 assists Kelly Olynyk has gotten from Isaiah Thomas this season. So Kelly Olynyk, and I've been saying since last season, Kelly Olynyk plays very well with Evan Turner. Evan Turner doesn't look for his shot first. He looks to set people up, and there's something I see with the eye test. I'm not a real big analytics guy, but with the eye test, when I see Evan Turner and Kelly Olynyk play, I see Evan Turner looking to set Kelly Olynyk up, and I think that the positive result we can get from Kelly.
I can't take any more Evan Turner love.
We need that old, you guys remember NBA Jam?
He's eating up.
You have got to get that clip for Nick so that every time, because, dude, he goes, this is my last point. And he said, and at least 10 times after that. That was a great call. Jim Rome would say, rack him. It was a great call, but holy shit, for real. Oops, for real, he's heating up. That was something.
Oh, my God. Now, Justin, I just got a text from Scotty that we ruined his best sign off of all time because we muted him.
Next time, Scotty,
call back next time. We'll get you.
We have more callers than we have time for. We have to go to Dan from Indiana now. And
Let's
Max, I had to jump in. I knew you needed help there. We were putting you to the fire.
And I also, the Evan Turner, I couldn't take any more Evan Turner love. I'm glad you did that for me.
He's great in his role. He works well for Brad Stevens. He is not the savior.
No, he's not. But I will agree with one of Nick's points. Him not shooting any threes is just an unbelievable thing that happened tonight because he usually 100%. Uses to do that. He keeps shooting them.
100%. Dan from Indiana, take it away.
Dan.
Okay. Well, we've scored over 100 points for our ninth game in a row. And someone on the Wizards feed said that it was the first time that a Celtics team had done that since 08. But I'm not sure. But sounds like our offense is doing pretty good. I think we really played a good defensive game tonight, too. We had put a lot of pressure on them. They did miss a lot of open threes, though, but they're not a real good shooting three team. We were kind of slacking off on them and letting them have that. But,
Yeah, Dan, I agree with you.
Nine games in a row of 100-plus, that's pretty good. I don't think there's too many teams in the NBA that can say that right now. So.
No, not many at all, Dan. I think your defensive point is also an important one that I don't want to get overlooked tonight. They gave up 91 points tonight, and I was actually looking at this earlier today. When they give up under 100 points to an opponent, they're 20-3 this season, and they're 4-18. They've given up over 100 points 22 times. They only won four of those times. So when their defense shows up, they're so good. They're so good. Was anybody impressive to you most tonight on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I think Zeller played some good minutes. Gortat usually kills us, and he was keeping him out of the lane, so I don't know.
Zeller played
Smart
well tonight.
Smart was really good, too.
Yeah, Smart, I thought Zeller played really well tonight. Do you think that Zeller should be getting more minutes going forward? Because that 18 minutes he played tonight, he had 9 points, 3 steals, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He seems to be productive lately when he gets those that time to kind of shine. Do you want him as part of this rotation going forward?
Well, I think Stevens is doing pretty good. He keeps some of our best defenders in on some of their hot players. You know, we usually, if somebody gets hot, he can bring somebody in and put them on there, you know, keep them down. So, yeah, he's one of our better defensive players, I believe, and he's a good rebounder too. So, I think he probably does deserve a few more minutes, but... Yeah, Drebko's been getting some big rebounds for us too, though, so I don't know.
Whose minutes would you take away, Dan, to give them to Zeller? I think Sullinger?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Johnson.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's I'll just leave that to the coach. He's pretty good. He knows what he's doing.
I think that's why he's had so much trouble getting this rotation down to only 8 players, is because there's a lot of good front court guys to play.
It's a good problem to have, I guess.
It's a very good problem to have until people start getting upset. You know, everyone wants to play a little bit. Everyone might be doing this. You know, everyone thinks they're doing it for the money, but I think they're also doing it for the love of the game. And even a guy like David Lee, you know, another DNP tonight. Would you want to see a little bit more of him?
Well, I don't know. It's a lot to do with matchups, I believe. They had a small lineup on the floor too a few times, so. I mean, we got to have somebody out there that can keep up with their small forwards. So every time that we went to a small lineup tonight, they did too. So I don't know. But we just played one heck of a defensive game, though. We were really slacking off on them and giving them that open outside shot. But, you know, we were keeping them out of the lane for the most part, I think. So, and
yeah,
we
let them make
boxed out and got good rebounds too. So that was a good thing.
No, that's a good point. And we let them make their own mistakes. I think they had 20 turnovers tonight. I think a lot of them, maybe half of them, were unforced errors. We just kind of sat back and let them kind of take themselves out of the game.
At one point, we had 12 points off of 8 Wizard turnovers. So I think it ended up like 20 turnovers or something. That was pretty good. So
that's exactly
how we
forced
a lot of them.
We were in
the passing lane and forcing a lot of them. So,
no,
Dan,
right,
have you called into the show before?
Yeah, I called that one night, but complaining about the lighting and shooting in the Barclays Center.
Nice, nice. Listen, great call, Dan. Great call. Good insights. And we've got one more caller we want to make sure we get to. Believe it or not, this show is moving very quickly. We only have about 15 minutes left, which is really insane to think about, because I feel like the other thing I want to jump in on is the Garden Report. CLNS Radio is some of the best written, spoken, and watched sports coverage. For the best of AV, you got to turn to CLNS Radio's YouTube channel, youtube.com/CLNS Radio, for high-definition locker room interviews, full-length locker room interviews, and the Garden Report, HD post-game show shot on the parquet floor at the TD Garden. You got to subscribe today. My man Jared runs a tight ship. He's got great guests, some guys that we've known for a good long time from Celtics blog, you know, bouncing all around now, guys getting promoted, coming up through the ranks. Just a great show, well-produced. Love having Jared, and hopefully – I'm going to get an opportunity to get up to Boston, cover a game, and hop on the Garden Report myself. That's one of my goals for this season. Let me throw this out,
Justin,
as well. Oh,
Justin,
go ahead. Go right ahead.
I got to jump in on this. Of course, I'm sure you heard that Bob Ryan got suspended today from ESPN.
I did not.
Oh, yeah. For calling if I could be wrong in the quote here, don't quote me, but I think he called Mark Jackson a Bible, phony Bible thumper or something, which I kind of agree with. But the point I wanted to throw in here while you're throwing in, shameless plugs, Bob Ryan was amazing on Celtic Speed on Sunday. You got to check that out if you haven't
really
yet.
Was.
Now, did you hear it too, Max?
Great.
I mean, I could listen to Bob Ryan talk about NBA history all day long, but he had some great insights into this season's team as well, and then went crazy on the 86 Celtics and the 87 Lakers and the 96 Bulls. It was just, if I could say it, I don't think Thirsty Boots is on tonight. It was fucking amazing. That's all I got to say.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm a big fan of Larry's show, and he let, you know, John and I host while he took a break right at the beginning of the new year. But I have no doubt that Larry came with guns blazing and that Bob at this stage in his career was all set to go and engaging. So I am going to download that. I have not
yet.
Oh,
great.
It really
was electric. Those
awesome.
Those two worked great together. It's a really good way to spend an hour of your day. Absolutely.
I'll definitely do that.
They in particular have good chemistry. They usually do.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But Bob Ryan was fantastic, and Larry always is when he's not being obnoxious. Anyway, go ahead.
Hey, wait a second. Are you're about to give away these tickets, right? The cheapest tickets to sporting events and concerts, whether it's events or games at Gillette, Fenway, or the Garden. Your answer is the TickIQ app. We love this app because we can search the cheapest tickets for events all across the U.S., and it's so easy to use. You can swipe on all of the upcoming games and concerts to receive updates on prices and see your seat before you buy. Head to the App Store and download for free. Simply search TickIQ. That's TickIQ. If you act now, and this is the important part because Nick's going to tell you more, you can use the code BOSTON for 10% off of all TN tickets listings. But you got to tell me, the giveaway is coming down to the wire.
That's it, baby. This Sunday, so you still have time. If you download the TickIQ app and follow at CLNS Radio on Twitter, we will be giving away or raffling off, Larry will be on Celtics Beat, the Clippers-Celtics game when we see Paul Pierce and Doc Rivers return to TD Garden I don't have the date on me. I'm embarrassed. It's February 26th, I think. Anyway, you need to follow before Friday, and we're giving those tickets away. And I got to tell you, people have been following like crazy. They want to get in the Garden to see Doc and Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce's last game at the Garden, possibly.
Well, how much would the Washington Wizards love to have him back after the way they're performing this season?
Oh, yeah, right? Big time.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yep.
You know, anyway, and Paul was such an underrated player prior to the acquisition of Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett. I mean, people knew that he was a good player. He definitely made the All-Star games, but he was never validated as clutch as he was. Even when him and Antoine, you know, went off against the Nets, they lost the series, but that one game where they just went crazy in the second half and stood up on the scorer's table, that whole game, all of that, he still did not get the mad respect. But I'm telling you what, best thing for validation of who he is as a player was actually done by Danny by trading him away. Because now that he's bounced, and what he's done for teams as he's bounced has validated his career immensely. All right, let's go to Mad Dog. I want to have enough time to close out this show with Max because he's been fantastic. So let's release the hounds. And let Max take it, and then we'll all come back together, and we'll close out the show with a little banter. How's that?
Sounds good. To Mad Dog. Mad Dog, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, just about that TickIQ app that you were just talking about, I may be very interested in that because a certain 80s band has gotten back together.
Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you guys heard or not, but Pigs have officially flied. They're going to be getting back together in April, and who knows where they'll go from there. But a terrific game tonight, particularly in the second half. It was trying to balance between two games, and I really enjoyed the defensive game plan of sort of sagging off the guards. They really don't have that great of three-point shooters. I like that approach, and it really worked tonight. It really did. And as far as playing Tyler Zeller more minutes, I like him better than David Lee. I do. This year, I don't think that David Lee has really produced much for this team. So I would like to see him in there more. I thought that I thought that last year at times, particularly in the playoffs, that he struggled. But he is what he is. He's a constant energy guy. That's the word I was looking for. And I would like to see him a part of the rotation. But really an all around good win tonight. But I want to ask you guys. Since we have Justin on. You guys were talking about trades earlier. I'm just wondering, Justin, what are your thoughts about the Brooklyn pick for this year, and what type of – because if you look at the draft this year, it's basically a two-man draft. And the second guy in Brandon Ingram, he's too skinny to make an impact in his first couple of years. He's gonna have to gain some muscle. So – that pick to me for this year, because I don't think that the Celtics or the Nets are going to be as bad as either the Lakers or the 76ers record wise. But what type of but would you trade that pick for say a Cousins or somebody of that caliber? Because some people feel that pick is untouchable.
The pick is never untouchable. The question with Boogie Cousins, who by the way is having a phenomenal January, the question with Boogie is his attitude. You know, it's funny because I thought Max came up with a pretty interesting kind of deal where, you know, maybe we move Bradley for Love and it might take a little bit more. It's certainly not going to take this first round pick. But what if you brought in like Kevin Love with the Bradley and somebody else deal, and then you brought in Boogie Cousins with a pick, and maybe you move out Jared Sullinger. You know, that would give you a pretty strong front court, and you'd still have his Isaiah. You'd have a lot of scoring options. I actually think it's almost like a small lineup. It's not really a small lineup because Boogie can pull down the rebounds, but, you know, you could definitely play Boogie at center at Stevens system with Kevin Love at power forward. You know, I what I want to say to the answer about that first round pick is it's movable if all the pieces come together this year. What you don't want to have happen is you make it for a trade that doesn't really make you a contender. You lose out on a young player who could eventually make you a contender, and you don't make the second move because it's not one move, right? It's not one move that gets this team into the finals. Not even if it's Boogie, and not even if it's Boogie with a great attitude towards Brad Stevens. It still doesn't mean you're headed to the finals because you're simply not. There's two moves that have to come together at least, just the same way there were two moves that had to come together to put the Celtics into the postseason and ultimately the finals championship against the Lakers in 07-08. It's all about how does all the pieces come together. So that's my answer to that. I would rather have the pick if we can't make other moves to go with it. But if you can make two moves to really put this team in position and somebody like Boogie is young, then maybe you do jump on that. I'm not married to the pick, but it's got to be under the right circumstances. And maybe those circumstances don't come until we lead up to the draft and we know where that pick is going to be. Right? Because if it's a number one overall pick and you bump a couple spots based on the Nets finishing third, maybe even fourth, you know, they did have a nice win the other night. If they bump up a few spots and they get that first pick, I'm not sure that it makes sense to move it. If it still lands at second or third, of course it makes sense to move it, depending on the player you're bringing in. What do you think, Max?
Yeah, no, I think I agree with what you're saying. I think they're definitely two moves away. I mean, you're not going to, even if you add Boogie or Love to this team, you're probably not going to even beat the Cavs, for example, given what you might have to give back to them. But the fact they have LeBron and Kyrie in a seven-game series, I just don't think that's enough to beat them. And even if you get if you take Love or Cousins, you're not going to even beat the Raptors, I don't think, with DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. I just don't think that still gives us enough offense to overcome them. So I would be very, very, very cautious with trading that pick. I do like your idea of kind of holding on to it and seeing where it may land. But I also, if it were ever to land at one, I don't think we would ever trade it. And if it weren't to land at one, I think, like the caller just said, there's not that much after Simmons that would maybe get you back a Cousins or a Love. But if Cousins was available right now, or if Love was available right now for that pick, I would probably pull the trigger, because I do think if I want to win a championship sooner rather than later and contend for one, and I do think adding two players, two big caliber players, will help us do that. And my perfect duo would be Kevin Love by trade and then Al Horford in the offseason by free agency. But I don't know if I'll get my wish. What do you think about that, those two?
I don't know if Al Horford still got it for the long haul. I mean, he's got to be early 30s now, correct? Is he like 32
late
now?
20s. Is he 32?
I don't know. I'm honestly not sure. I'm going to look it up.
He has some injury concerns. I'll give you that. But when he's 29.
29.
He's 29 years old.
Yeah, so you know what? You're right. You got some good years out of this guy left. Injury concerns withstanding.
You do have some good years out of him. And I feel like he's very
consistent.
He's a nice
fit in this offense.
He really is, because he can run the floor. And I mean, he plays for, maybe Celtics are, you know, their daddy. I don't know if that's the right word, is the Hawks. So, I mean, he's already played in that system that Brad Stevens likes to play. With Budenholzer out in Atlanta, so it would be a seamless transition, and if you can mix him with Kevin Love, and Horford's used to playing with another big man next to him with Paul Millsap, so he won't be intimidated by that. But he played in 76 games last year. He's played in all 45 this year, so those injury concerns have kind of waned away a little bit.
Well, and with the right amount of depth, you can mitigate it the way Pop does down in San Antonio.
Yes, exactly. And so I would be. Again, I would need something absolute. I'm talking about in years, in age, to trade the opportunity to get Ben Simmons. Because just because the Celtics have a worse record than the Lakers and Sixers, that means nothing come lottery time. I don't know when the last time is the team with the worst record actually won the lottery. I think it's more likely than not that the worst team or the team with the worst record will win it.
Love our odds. You have to love our odds with that, because how many times did we have that record and not get it? It seems like it would only be fitting when we least need the pick for this team to improve. I'm not saying we don't need the pick, because obviously this team can use all these picks, but it's not our pick. Exactly. So
there you go.
So this team can continue to perform above expectations and continue to land for this year, next year, the year after, with phenomenal first-round draft position. Really phenomenal. Wow. And I don't buy it for a second that – is it Pekarov? Is that how you say it? Prokhorov. I don't think for a second that he's going to get that team back under control. I don't think he's going to get the right coach. I think he's already got a black mark in the league. I really don't see – that team rebounding anytime in the next 2 to 3 years. And the simple fact is the assets aren't there. The only thing going for the New Jersey Nets right now, or the Brooklyn Nets. Wow, I said New Jersey. The only thing going for the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, that's a throwback. The only thing going for them is the fact that this salary cap is about to shoot through the roof. That could happen. Yep.
And Joe Johnson's coming off their books. So they're going to have money to play with. I heard they like DeMar DeRozan. I don't know why anyone would want to go sign there and play with that team and that organization. But, yeah, they'll have money to spend next year with the increase in the cap and DeRozan and with Johnson coming off the books. But who wants to go play there? Especially when you have the Lakers throwing. Everyone in the league is going to have money in the offseason. So why would you choose to go to Brooklyn?
You have even more. You have even more competition, and you're less likely to pull away somebody for max money that's actually deserving of that kind of max money to relocate an entire team of stars, because there's just no point anymore. Every team can compete.
every team can compete. And they're going to have to overpay for someone. I see them getting themselves right back into a bad situation by giving someone who doesn't deserve it probably a max deal. Giving a max, yeah, a non-max player a max deal just to get some talent there. But I do worry about, you know, Danny Ferry, Brian Colangelo are the two GMs I've heard that they're looking at. I mean, those guys have righted ships before. And if they do then bring in a Tom Thibodeau, you know, I will admit that does worry me a little bit.
How quickly? I mean, at the very least, you got to think that the Celtics still get a top 10 pick next season, right?
You think so?
It's a swap. It's a swap year. Yeah. I'm just thinking, even if you bring those guys in, they're only going to have so much time in the offseason to get the ship righted. I think it takes a second full season under new leadership to really pull out. Maybe not next year's draft, but the year after it starts to not be so great. But then it's just an extra pick in the first round anyway. I think next year's swap still positions the Celtics very, very well. And I will say this, too. We're coming up on the end of the show. We're going to wind up going into archive mode and going off live air, which is fine to wrap the show up a little bit. But the Celtics coming away winners, 116-91 tonight against the Washington Wizards. They've owned them. Sweep the season series. Coming off, it's an unintended second night of a back-to-back. The second straight game where the Celtics have taken control of the game early, blown out the opponent. And I love how Sean Grandy loves to put these stats up, Max, because he keeps putting that margin of victory stat. But even if you look at point differential, let's forget the fact that the Celtics haven't won as many games as the other leaders on average margin of victory. Just look at the point differential. They've been in like the top 8 to 10 the entire season, and there's been times when they've sat at third and fourth. So the losses that they've had have typically been close, and the wins are starting to get back into that double-digit 20-plus point win range, which is a sign of a very good team play, that spreading the ball, attacking the basket. We got to see more of this. Do you think we're going to see more of this? Are they going to carry this into the next game?
I sure hope so. And I actually saw that the Bulls lost tonight as well. So they're now only a game back of that fifth seed. And the fourth seed, the fourth seed, if I'm not mistaken. So they have Miami. They have two games with Orlando the rest of this month. And so I think we're going to see them get tested a little bit more, and hopefully they can continue this. I personally think they will. I think they're finally catching that swagger back, as Jay Crowder likes to use oftentimes. And like you said, that margin of victory, they're 16-6 in those 10 or plus point games. When the margin of victory is 3 or less, they're 1-5. So they like to play in this zone, and so do I. It gives me less, you know, heartburn. And so the more victories we can get here with that kind of a margin of victory. But I mean, 16 of their wins is by 10 points or more out of 25. That's incredible.
Incredible. And, you know, their next matchup is against the Nuggets on Wednesday, and I like their chances in that game. Then I think it gets a little rough. The real measuring stick for me, right, because I think they're 5-5, and maybe now they're 6-4 in their last 10 after the win tonight. But heading into tonight, they were 5-5 in their last 10. You know, they're following up with a nice stretch of games after a very poor stretch of games, which included a loss against Orlando. And it's this home and away with Saturday off in between, back-to-back games against the Magic and the next Tuesday against the Knicks. Those three games to me are going to tell us that if this team is just catching opponents on down nights and lesser opponents, definitely in terms of Philadelphia, maybe not in terms of Washington, but Washington definitely played like a worse opponent tonight. They were, you know, as Mike said, it's not exactly basketball terminology, but they just don't look together on the court. And Gorman couldn't have been more right about that. So I'm interested to see. Orlando's not been playing great as of late either, but they were on a run when they beat the Celtics in their first matchup of the season. I'm interested to see. And then we also got sucker punched by the Knicks. So I'm interested to see what the Celtics do with that three-game stretch. If they come away 2-1 through those three games or 3-0, then I'm convinced that they've turned the corner. If they go 1-2, and definitely if they go 0-3, then I'm going to say this team is a little bit on the up and down, up and down, up and down, and still struggling to find some consistency. But it would be really nice if they could tack those three together. Let me ask you this. Do you think the Raptors have a shot of supplanting the Cleveland Cavaliers during this point of turmoil and taking over the first seed in the Eastern Conference?
At least in terms of if the basketball gods are watching, I would think so. I don't think Tyronn Lue deserves to coach that All-Star game. And so I feel like at least by the All-Star break, Dwayne Casey and the Raptors, I'm hoping will take over so he can coach that game. But I like the Raptors a lot more than I think most people do. I don't know. They seem to be one of the two seeds that fly under the radar most.
Everybody's down on them.
I don't understand why.
You listen to the national radio and they compare the Western Conference versus the Eastern Conference. They say, okay, fine. You know, maybe there's more depth in the Eastern Conference, but can you really take it seriously when you're comparing them to the top three teams in the Western Conference? He's like Cleveland versus. He's like, you got OKC. And I was like, well, wait a second. They completely shunned the Toronto Raptors. And then it came out, and they're still shunning them. And I just think there are some really quality players on that team. And they've been consistently good for three seasons now, even with players moving around. Kyle Lowry has definitely been a centerpiece and a core for the turnaround with that team. But they had a lot of nice draft picks. DeMar DeRozan obviously is one, where they were positioning themselves, and then they got a couple of pieces to put it all together. You would have thought Amir Johnson would have hurt him more. He didn't. This team is legit.
Yeah, the losing Johnson was helped by the fact they add Damari Carroll, who's been out for a little bit this year, and they're still, I think during this run, I think he's been out for the entire run, if I'm not mistaken.
I think
it's hilarious that people think that the old Cavs, I think it was one of the oldest rosters in the league who's still, they start J.R. Smith, that they'll be able to go and play against the Spurs or the Warriors come playoff time, and not the Raptors, who have DeMar DeRozan, Damari Carroll, Kyle Lowry. I mean, these are guys who can run, and I think that while the Cavs don't have that small ball lineup, the Raptors surely have a lineup they can put together who can run around with the, you know, the Warriors, and when they go that small ball with that, is it called the kill lineup at the end of the games? I don't understand why people like the Cavs so much. I actually fear the Raptors a lot more, at least in the regular season. Come playoff time, you know, if you have LeBron James lately, at least that seems to be the deciding factor in most playoff series. So at least in the Eastern Conference.
Well, Toronto has the second active streak in the NBA right now. They've won 8 straight. San Antonio is number one, winning 13 straight. San Antonio, too. I mean, how crazy is it the way Golden State started this year and San Antonio just quietly hung in there, and they're only 2 games back? Is that not phenomenal? 38-6 is San Antonio on the season. Golden State 40-4. San Antonio sits only 2 games back. I just think that's amazing. The way that they hung in there, and I know they get the respect. You know, they always get the respect, but I just think it's phenomenal. Golden State goes undefeated for how many games, and now San Antonio is only sitting 2 games out in the West. I'm blown away by that. Blown away.
I don't know how R.C. Buford and Popovich do it, but I mean, I love to see Stevens and Ainge become those two. I mean, the stability in that organization, how they do it year after year, and to think we could have had that kind of a successful run if we had drafted Tim Duncan. You were alluding to before our draft woes, especially with the lottery. But yeah, I mean, 24-0 at home. I mean, those two teams are undefeated at home this year. It's unbelievable. I'm curious to see which one loses first. Maybe it'll be the Warriors tonight. But the Spurs just keep coming back, and it's because they keep adding guys. I mean, you can add guys like Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge. You can keep supplementing the older versions of Ginobili and Duncan. I mean, that's how you win, and that's all about the organization, being guys trusting the organization, guys trusting the coach, and they're willing to sign there, and also knowing the talent, drafting the talent, which Ainge has done a little bit of, but the James Young – and also the 3 picks this past year, you know, you're hoping some of them can come in to form soon. But the Warriors and Spurs, they really built that through the draft. So it shows you that that is a possibility to do, and hopefully Danny Ainge can use this upcoming draft, if he does keep some of those picks, to do that as well. Because right now we have three. We have the third pick, the 20th pick, and the 21st pick right now as
Crazy.
It stands. So that's a lot of opportunity right there.
I'm going to throw one last stat out before we close out the show. It's definitely time to close it out. What's that?
Who do you have in the Spurs-Warriors game? Who do you have? Can we get a little pick from you?
I'm going with the Spurs. I'm definitely going with the Spurs. Yeah, that's my pick.
Really?
Because I think that they manage the regular season so well, and strategically, I think, you know, we have Golden State. They've won three in a row since their last loss, you know. But I think Golden State is – they got to be tiring out. I'm sorry. I know they're just shooting three balls, and I get it. That's maybe, you know, it's not like they're always driving to the paint. You know, they take the most three-point attempts between Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. They're just jacking them. But I think they're going to get a little mentally tired. San Antonio is so tested through this. So I'm going San Antonio. It sounds like an upset pick, but how can either of them be an upset pick? I got to throw this stat at you, Max, before we close out the show, though. You're obviously taking Golden State. But here's something that I think positions Boston really well to move up the standings in the Eastern Conference. They're currently sitting fifth. But when you look at the number of games that they've played against Eastern Conference opponents, they're at 33 after tonight's game. Now, New York is at 31, but most of the division leaders, Toronto, has only played 28 games. They played five less games against conference opponents. Atlanta's at 27. You know, Charlotte's at 25. Most of these teams are landing between 27 and 28 games against the conference. I mean, hell, Detroit's only played 23 games against the conference. This conference has a lot more beating up to do on each other, but the Celtics have the most games behind them. So not only do I like the chances for the Celtics to beat more of the lesser teams in the Western Conference, and they seem to love to get up and down the court in that Western Conference style, and they seem to thrive in that. So I think there's wins on deck for them against Western Conference, you know, lower tier, second, third tier opponents. But I also think that the Eastern Conference has got some losses still to issue each other, which will help Boston climb in the standings, because they've played the most games against anybody else in the Eastern Conference of all the teams in the Eastern Conference. I think that bodes well.
No, I think it does. And I'll spot you another one. The way they end their season, if they can keep it close with what you're saying there, with their schedule hopefully being a little bit more favorable, they finish up the season with the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Bucks, the Hawks, the Hornets, and the Heat. The Hornets and the Heat are at home. I mean, that's a, you know, if you have the Bucks, the Pelicans, the Lakers, and then you have the Hornets and the Heat at home, I mean, if they're relatively close to that third, fourth seed, they may go five, six on their last and run away with it.
And head into the postseason with, you know, some nice confidence and some drive.
Exactly.
One of the things that's caught Celtics teams past in that first round is letdown when playoff seed position's already been determined. And the last few games of the season kind of go flat, and then they have a hard time getting their game face on for that first round. All right, Nick's going to come back. He's going to help us close out the show. He's got one final thought for us, and we're going to give it 3 minutes and tidy this show at 1 hour and 15 minutes before we wrap. Nick, talk to me, baby.
Yeah, this is – first things first is this is the easiest post-game show assignment I've ever had, I think. I have to thank Rory for scheduling me with you guys, because I feel like Robin from Howard Stern. I just kind of chime in every couple minutes with a little tidbit here or there, but – truly great show, guys. Once we got through some of the sound issues, it was amazing. I just want to see the Celtics continue on this trend that we've seen the last couple games. Real excited by seeing Kelly Olynyk, Evan Turner. I mean, these guys, again, Justin, we've been saying it since the beginning of the season. Play a little inside-outside game. Get rid of that early offense three, unless it's absolutely there. And when you're getting in a dry spell, which we know seems to happen every single game. Now, tonight was an exception. But when you're getting in a dry spell, your best thing to do is get Marcus Smart, get Isaiah Thomas, get these guys to the basket and draw fouls. Get to the foul line.
Yep.
Slow it down.
Collect yourselves. And let Stevens, the strategist, help you regain control of the game. No doubt.
Absolutely. So that's my closing thoughts, guys. Max, welcome aboard. You're a welcome addition, and we're definitely thrilled to have you. And you did well with the callers.
Max, you killed it.
I appreciate you, too, letting me run with it a little bit, and also leading the way here, Justin, and Nick, for letting me talk as much as you let me while you didn't say anything. Because I know you have a lot of good, you have a lot of things you want to talk about from tonight's game. So I appreciate that.
Max, you killed it. I'm serious, man. You did a really nice job, and you made the show fun and easy, and you had a lot of good thoughts and good follow-up. So I think we're all really looking forward to hearing you continue to participate and start running some of these post-game shows on your own. But you got the stuff, my man. So welcome to the team. And so I got to get your thought then. You brought it up. I didn't let you rebut. I want you to close the show on it. I said San Antonio. Are we squaring off? Is this are you going Golden State in tonight's game?
Well, I am, Justin, but I want to make sure you know that Tim Duncan's out tonight. That Popovich is playing his Jedi mind tricks and sitting out Tim Duncan, so the Warriors don't have a clue what they're going to face in June.
I can't go that way. No, I have to revise. I have to revise. I'm going your way. I'm definitely going Golden State.
But I do agree with you. I like the Spurs in June, you know, if these two teams match up. So we may have to revisit this bet then. But I'm all for it if you want to devolve. Maybe we can bet some kind of something fun. Who knows?
All right, cool. We'll definitely do that. Hey, Celtics come away winners 116-91 over the Washington Wizards, all in the middle of snow flurry blizzard disaster in the mid-Atlantic region where I actually happen to reside and haven't shoveled so much snow since the days when I grew up in Maine. Definitely a good cause for shutting things down. My kids still aren't even back to school, and I don't own a snowblower, but I will tell you what, this Celtics team's just came in and
great game
the crap out of the mid-Atlantic in the last two games. Both were exciting and fun to watch. Tonight was great. Welcome, Max. You did a fine job, my man. I look forward to doing
Thanks,
more
Justin.
Of these
Thank
shows
you, Nick.
With you. Absolutely.
Yeah, same. I'm
Nick,
excited.
Nick, roll the credits, baby.